Welcome to the Literacy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Trace recording. It's 11:55 a.m. That is Central Time. It is July 20th. I'm recording a little earlier because I'm going up to Alaska this afternoon to meet some clients and also to do a spot of halibut and salmon fishing and maybe take a few photos of some bears in action. But I don't anticipate missing any day of production of Fuller Tracy Money, but I might have some ability in when commentary hits the website. And there is a lot to talk about right now. But I think one thing that is sort of sitting out there as a metastasizing problem, and that is going to require a really substantial solution from the Chinese government, is the property sector. The renminbi is still trending lower. So that is a reflection of the need within China for additional monetary support. Now, let's just think about some of the property developers. So if we think about Country Garden, then it's been trending downward for a while now. And it's still, even though it was steady in the region of the previous low for the last few days, it is still trending lower. And then a lot of the problems that are arising are from the bankruptcy and the zombification of China Evergrande. Now, when we look at the Shanghai Property Index, it's been going mostly sideways with some spiky action since 2015. So there's really not a lot that we can we're going to learn from this particular index about just how dire the conditions are. One of the big challenges in China is that the property developers pre-sell, and then people buy because they think they're getting a discount. They also hope that by the time the development is delivered, they'll already be sitting on a nice, tidy profit. But the challenge right now is the property developers haven't even started. They've already taken down payments. People are paying mortgages on properties that haven't been delivered yet. So they're striking. And that news broke last week. Now what we're starting to see is that some of the suppliers to the property developers are no longer paying invoices because they haven't been paid by the property developers. So they're not paying other people's invoices. And they're very rightly saying that why are they on the hook for the bankruptcy of Country Garden, or for Evergrande, when it's really China Evergrande seems to be getting away scot-free. So obviously, a lot of the investors in China Evergrande are not getting away scot-free, and principals in the company have been through the ringer with the Communist Party. But the problem, of course, is that China's property sector is highly levered, and the losses are going to fall somewhere. Now, the banking sector is under stress because people aren't paying their mortgages. So obviously that's not a good thing. And then, of course, you have the entire challenge as well with the coronavirus and the zero incidence policy that the Chinese government are following. So this is going to be a really difficult situation to tackle. And China then also has this question about Taiwan, with senior EU and US politicians turning up in Taiwan and talking about providing the island with moral, military, and economic support. Well, that's the big red line for China. So they have both cross-strait and then domestic issues that are coming to a boil right now. And it really means that they're going to have to spend a ton of money. So the big question for the rest of the world is, where's the money going to come from to spur a new bull market? And potentially it's China. China might have to do now what they did in 2007 and basically bail out the whole world. But obviously, the big question is whether they're still willing to do that kind of thing. Now, when we then look back at the USA, the NASDAQ is rebounding. So it's up now to a new recovery high over the last month. And it has certainly pushed up towards the upper side of this little range. And the odds of it unwinding the oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average are improving. I think Netflix and the rationale being used to support the price is probably an object lesson. It's not that they've suddenly had a big jump in new subscribers. It's simply that they lost fewer subscribers, even though they lost 1 million subscribers. That's not quite as bad as was priced in. So the price is rallying. And the reality here is that it could double and still be in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. And depending on whether one looks at a simple or an exponential 200-day moving average, it'd be about the same. So there's obviously the potential here that we could get an additional rally. And the ARK Innovation ETF was also at new highs in here today. So that's also looking like the potential for an additional rally. But it's worth also considering that after an accelerated decline, and there is absolutely no doubt that what we've had is an accelerated decline, and we can look at some of these high-flying individual shares. It's not appropriate to look at the funds or the indices with this same logic because the constituents of those will change over time. But when we think about individual shares after an acceleration, particularly a crash-like situation such as we've had with Roku, where it went from 500 to less than 100, is you get a big counter-trend rally to close out the short positions, but then growth disappoints. And people who held on the way down, they want to take some of their position out. So then you start to see people selling into the rallies, and you settle back in then to a rangy environment. So for these types of companies that have really disappointed in terms of the expectations for growth, and now we're going to see the reality that they won't be able to keep up with the expectations for growth in future either, then they're much more likely to move into these lengthier base formations. But before that, you generally get the counter trend rally, and we might be looking at that potential right now. Then there is some additional speculative activity moving into the cryptocurrency sector. So Bitcoin has pulled back in a violent manner, down about 75% from peak to trough, and now it's rebounding. And now, part of the reason why Bitcoin's rebounding is really because of Ethereum, and there is increasing speculation that Ethereum will move on to its proof of stake system in September. So the price now is at the lower side of the overhead trading range. It's one of the first areas of potential resistance. I kind of think that 2000 is a more appropriate level to think about a big area of resistance because it's a psychological level and it's the lower side of the overhead trading range. So there's the potential, at least, that we could have a bigger rally because people are starting to think more about the future of the Ethereum network and the whole bullish case for smart contracts. But obviously, it has to at least break the downtrend if we're going to have a big recovery. Then we also have significant movement in the cannabis sector. So there's a hearing on the 26th to discuss the what efforts can be made to correct some of the injustices that have been imposed upon the black community, because so many of the prisoners in US prisons are there because of cannabis regulations. And it's legal in some places, it's illegal in others. There's still a federal prohibition. So obviously there is a real movement towards some social justice, and there is the possibility that we could be looking at decriminalization. The whole reason why people wanted to invest in cannabis back in 2016 was because of speculation about deregulation. And then they were dashed during the Trump administration, and nothing has happened really since then. So prices now are pretty much back where they were in 2016. If the federal prohibition is removed, then the access to banking and capital and the growth potential of the sector, well, then that's likely to fuel a significant recovery. So one thing that we're definitely seeing is more focus on dates. So the date of the hearing on the 26th of July, and then the date of the proof of stake in Bitcoin. These kinds of dates register with retail investors because they want to put in positions there. What a date does is it creates urgency. So obviously this is a significant potential event. And one thing that I'm rather conscious of is that when we think about the yield curve spread, and we go back and look at it over history. Now, we can look at the fact that it is inverted right now, and that pretty much makes a recession inevitable. But we had an inverted yield curve all the way through from the end of 2005 through to the middle of 2007. But that wasn't the causal factor, or this was a lead indicator for real trouble in the stock market. It's when the yield curve starts to surge higher after an inversion. That's when we start to see real trouble in the stock market. So we're not at that point yet. And in between now and then, well, it's quite normal to see steadier action because investors have cash on the sidelines and they feel like they have to do something with it. Inflation is running at 9% on a year-over-year basis. They feel like if they don't do anything with it, they're going to be castigated by their investors who are saying, well, what are we giving you money to manage for if you can't beat inflation? So they have to get invested in speculative activity. And there's very much the attitude that we'll keep dancing as long as the band is playing. So that's had sort of revisiting the philosophy of Chuck Prince, who was the CEO of Citigroup before the crash. One thing that I think is interesting is Citigroup put in an upside key reversal last week and then rebounded in pretty emphatic fashion. So we have an upside weekly key reversal with some follow through in here this week. Now, it hasn't quite yet broken the downtrend, but there's certainly some softening up action in terms of that downtrend. Then we can think about Bread Financial, which is a third party offerer of credit cards to hundreds of retailers. And even here, we're seeing some recovery following what has been a really strong downtrend over the last year. So there's certainly more speculative activity going on right now on pretty much a needs must basis. But oil prices remain quite firm and continue to rebound from the $100 level. In Europe, there is the potential that that Russia will reopen the Nord Stream 1 pipeline, but that they will keep flow of gas through it lower. So natural gas prices in the UK were up again in here today. And I think it's particularly relevant to look at this on a weekly basis to emphasize just how high prices are. And the Netherlands natural gas price was also in positive territory today, but not in as dynamic a manner. But still very steady here in the region of the all-time peak. So this energy crisis in Europe is not just about to go away. The lower growth and liquidity issues that are coming through in China are going to weigh rather heavily on Europe. And in the meantime, the US dollar remains really quite high. And sorry, I didn't type that correctly. We've seen some dollar weakness over 3 days, and it's a bit steadier in here today, but it is holding the uptrend. And the USA is likely to continue to raise interest rates. If we see a substantial rebound in the stock market, they're not going to stop raising interest rates. The one thing that they want to try and do is curtail demand. If corporate profits, in fact, remained resilient in the second quarter, that's only going to further emphasize to the Federal Reserve that they need to tighten monetary policy even more. So we have certainly got the potential for a reversionary rally, and some of the oversold rallies in the speculative sector could be really quite impressive. But they're also likely to be reasonably short term. So we could have substantial and very convincing moves that could be anywhere from 50 to 100%, but then they could be completely reversed as monetary policy continues to tighten. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.